Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Wait for the signal. Wait for it.
Let's go.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Here on Turnbuckle Trash, we're taking a look back at what happened in the year 2016 from a fan's perspective here on Turnbuckle Trash. Ajay joins me, Dave Denton, right now. And Ajay, I wanted to get your opinion about the top wrestler for 2016, the one that you think really stepped up his game, that just made, you know, lack for a better term, impact on the entire professional wrestling world. Who would you put there?
Do you remember when Seth Rollins got injured and the whole entire WWE creative writing team was scrambling around to find ways to bandage the missing absence of Seth Rollins, and we were all kind of freaking out wondering how it was going to happen?
Right.
And then we really just came out to find that they couldn't fix it. He's just that valuable that they couldn't even fix it. Hmm. That there tells me alone, it's like my team, Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, right? Okay, Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback in NFL history. RJ Salveson is the best producer in Cash Valley Radio Network history.
Right.
And it's hard to recover when you guys miss me. So goes Seth Rollins in the WWE. He makes up the absence of anybody else who on that roster who's not able to be in a part of it or is injured or whatever else. Seth freaking Rollins is incredible. And let me tell you why. He's a world heavyweight champion. He's a U.S. champion. He's a WWE tag champion. He's an NXT champion. He won the 2014 Money in the Bank ladder match and 2015 Superstar of the Year Slammy Award. At one point in a Slammy's Award, the contestants for Superstar of the Year was between Seth Rollins and then everybody else on the roster. That's what it was listed as.
Uh-huh.
So who won?
Seth Rollins, right?
He won a heavyweight title from Brock Lesnar. That is impressive. Brock freaking Lesnar, and he beat him. He's the only man to cash in his Money in the Bank at WrestleMania. So he's gutsy. So not only is he clutch, but he's gutsy, and he's very, very successful. Think about all that success. You're at the peak of your career, and you injure your leg. And really, there, and you can even look it up, Dave. The reviews and the worries, some of the concerns about Seth Rollins being out and could the WWE recover was all over the WWE media and a lot of podcasts as well. And so having Seth out really hurt them a lot. The fans noticed it. I think the roster noticed it, and I especially think that Triple H and his creative team noticed it. And so when he came back, it felt like the world was right again. He put things back into motion, created some havoc like he was supposed to. It's obvious how good he is. And,
I think that's a good choice.
He's absolutely my superstar of the year.
And I think that's a great choice for your wrestler of the year.
Anything for you, Dave. But can I just ask you a quick question?
Sure.
Undertaker is coming back, and he's going to participate in the Royal Rumble. Of course, he did the whole, you know, dig 29 holes for 29 souls ahead of the Royal Rumble, yada, yada, yada. Is this too much?
I don't know what they're trying to set up. When I saw that on Raw, I immediately had a thought process that they might be setting up a fatal three-way with Brock Lesnar, with Bill Goldberg, and The Undertaker. I don't know why that came in my mind. But they got to have something for The Undertaker, Brock, and Goldberg to do at WrestleMania. And I don't know if, maybe a Goldberg and Brock Lesnar is a big enough event for them. Because they always try to knock it out of the park with something you don't expect for WrestleMania. And I don't know if a lot of people are expecting that. So that's just a prediction I have, and I hope it comes to fruition, because I don't see any one of the three winning the Royal Rumble. What about you?
I think it's too much. I mean, look, there's no bigger Undertaker fan than me.
Right.
I've been following the guy since I was, freaking 3 years old, it seems like, and watching, wrestling. I mean, at some point, look, people were mad when Edge left, but he left at the right time. I mean, he left where you're like, I want more of Edge. I think we've been given too much of The Undertaker, especially at a time where I don't think his stamina's there. Mm-hmm. I don't think his ability is there anymore. I really don't, and I'm sorry, but it's like a good football player being, you know, at some point as a wrestler, and as a great one, Father Time just gets sick of knocking on the door politely, and it's just going to rip the hinges off the door, come over and take your soul. Mm. And that's what I think it's going to do to The Undertaker soon enough. I think he's hurting his legacy as he does this. That's crazy to say, and I'm probably going to get a lot of grief for it, but so be it. I feel like it's too much, and there's just no sense to do it. And if it is a fatal three-way between Goldberg, Lesnar, and Undertaker, it makes no sense at all. Uh-huh. I don't know where you're going with it.
Uh-huh.
Because if Goldberg or Undertaker loses, what was the point of having them there in the first place? You know? If Brock Lesnar loses, then what's the point of putting him in there now? It hurts his image.
I just don't see any one of the three winning the Rumble, but I could see them using the Rumble to set up something for WrestleMania. To think more about what are the possibilities that I don't like to say this will happen. I just say, what might happen? What would be really cool? And I think setting up something for WrestleMania with at least two of those three is probably what's going to happen.
Hey, MSR.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, do you like geeky things?
I love geeky things, Chunky Larry.
How much do you love geeky things?
I would say at least a 7.
A 7? That's
yeah.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
I mean, I have a few places on the internet I go to.
Well, the one place you want to go on the internet is geeksoftheindustry.com, because it's got geeks at the beginning.
Oh, that's a good point. Geeksoftheindustry.com, you say. What is that? What is that about? What is that?
Well, you know, it's got a little bit of everything. It's got cartoons, movies, music, video games, wrestling. You know, anything that's geeky that you're into, you'll probably be able to find at geeksoftheindustry.com.
I can watch all of those things?
No, no, no. It's a podcast website. You listen to things.
Oh.
Ooh, podcasting. You can download them from the website, or you can, you know, subscribe to one of the shows on Stitcher or iTunes.
What was that website again?
That's geeksoftheindustry.com, my good friend.
I'm going to go right now.
Yeah, sorry, my brother. You've got to get your own.
Turnbuckle Trash fans, you can stay in the ring with us by following us on Facebook and clicking that like button on our Facebook page, Turnbuckle Trash. Or you can follow us on Twitter, at Turnbuckle Trash. And in case you got any comments, suggestions, or questions, you can email us at wpfpod@gmail.com. Again, that's wpfpod@gmail.com.
We're looking back at what happened in 2016 in professional wrestling, and something has come up over the last, I think over the last 6 months that has been kind of bugging me. A lot of people have been asking about, is the dominance of the WWE in ratings and in live events and in people's minds, is it good for professional wrestling overall? You look at the success of the WWE Network, they're adding that Great Britain title. They're adding the 205 with the cruiserweights. They're doing more live events around. They're doing 2 pay-per-view qualities per month all on the network. So I ask you, Juice, is this good overall for professional wrestling? What's your opinion?
Yes, I do. I feel like, you know, they're not just staying stale, if that makes sense. I mean, the cruiserweight, the Great Britain title and such, and adding 2 pay-per-views a month. But I think it's adding on and giving these WWE athletes, some of them who have been maybe kind of in the shadows of others, maybe even more opportunity to create a chance for them to be seen in front of a crowd. And it's going to create some great opportunities and maybe some great rivalries. I mean, look, we're seeing in a day and age where some of our favorite wrestlers from back in the day are finally starting to cut it loose and cut the cord on their career. And so now we're looking for people to step up. And I think with this opportunity, with the WWE growing as much as it is, we can see other, and the younger generation grow up, and hopefully we'll see an Undertaker We'll see someone like maybe, I mean, we will never get a Shawn Michaels or a Rock again or even a Stone Cold, but maybe something near that. Uh-huh. So when kids who, you know, we used to look at Stone Cold the way he is, now these kids and this youth can look up to wrestlers the way we used to. And I think this exactly does that. With WWE growing, creates more possibilities and opportunities for wrestlers, but at the same time, Dave, it creates a great responsibility in the WWE to put on a great product night after night after night. They have to do that. If they fail at that for a streak of like 3 to 4 weeks, they're in trouble.
So I'm just concerned, I guess, when I ask that question is, if they start buying up, are they doing the same thing that they did to the territories? Are there, as we've seen, you know, the New Japan get a little bit more popular, TNA, Lucha Underground starting to get a little bit more popular with the fans. Are they going to start buying things up or trying to put these guys out of business again?
You know, I'd hope not. I if I know Vince McMahon, if I know Triple H and that crew, they like a challenge. Uh-huh. They really do, and I think they respect the challenge that they get. And I hope that's how they view it. I hope they can take that challenge and respond to it without money being involved. Because the WWE has the talent. They don't need to go freaking buy out companies.
Right.
You have the talent on your roster, use it. And prove to everybody that you don't need to throw out presidential green flashcards to everybody to win their hearts. That you can do it with your talent on the roster and the creative ideas you have from your team.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
The greatest wrestler in the history of wrestling? He was so good that he wore an outfit with the words fair play written across it. Like, I'm so good, I don't even need to cheat to beat you. It's kind of my idol.
You're changing your Depends over to diapers.
I sentenced them to deletion.
Depends over to diapers.
Delete.
This is Turnbuckle Trash. Hi, I'm Dave Dutton, and we're talking to Ajay Salveson. But Ajay, I wanted to get yours and also Zane's opinion on something that has got a lot of news over the last 6 months in the world of professional wrestling, and that is the broken Matt Hardy and also now with Brother Nero. A lot of people are saying that Matt Hardy's character now of the broken Matt Hardy has actually saved TNA. What's your opinion?
You know what? It's really interesting. I'm going to refer back to sports, game, forgive me, but Bryce Harper wants to make baseball fun again, right? So he flips the bat. He has the attitude. He has the hard slides into second and third. He even slid into first once. He wants to make baseball fun again because people thought baseball was boring. Matt Hardy is bringing the fun back to professional wrestling. But he's doing it in a different way that I don't think anyone's thought about. Matt Hardy is bringing the attention back to wrestling like it's supposed to, and people want to be a part of that. And that's what I love about what he's doing. The unique matches like the Final Deletion, the Great War, it's fun. It's creative. It's sheer madness. It's broken brilliance. It's Matt Hardy, you know, using his brain and putting together great content for a brand that's really been suffering for quite some time.
You know, I agree, but I will also disagree with just a little bit there. This last deletion that he had, which was in December, the best way I can describe it is I was on TNA's Facebook page, and I actually got a lot of response from what I said because I thought it was horribly put together. But then a guy made the comment that I had written up a little piece that I'll make available on this podcast about this particular event being compared to an old 50s style B monster movie. And the guy that was coming back, he was saying, you know, that's exactly what it was. And I got to admit, he was right. It was kind of like an old Ed Wood, you know, Plan 9 from Outer Space movie. Terrible special effects, overacting, but I guess that's what they were trying to accomplish, doing something completely out of the box. I almost turned it off several times because it was that bad to me, but a lot of people really love it. And isn't that what it's all about? What you personally like? You know, like I said, I'll put in this this written piece. I'll put it right here. Turnbuckle Trash. Here are the notes I wrote down right after Tag Team Apocalypto on December on TNA Impact Wrestling. So this is what I wrote. I don't necessarily feel 100% the same way right now, but here we go with what I wrote. A Tag Team Apocalypto. This was so bad to call it a butt fumble would be a disservice to all other butt fumbles. Filmed at the Hardy Compound in North Carolina, it opens with Senor Benjamin reading in Spanish with subtitles a disclaimer about don't try this at home and goes downhill from there. Before I get into the real criticism of this disaster, there were a couple of good things. The knockout, Sienna versus ODB, was good because we hadn't seen ODB in such a long time. The match was pretty good, too. Another highlight came from Ricky Martin of the Rock and Roll Express. Yes, the Rock and Roll Express was there looking every bit of their age. But at one point, Morton says, God loves crazy people. He made a lot of us. Another good line came from the broken Matt Hardy, speaking to a hurricane. Yes, yes, in full superhero mode, Matt says, even the man with three H's would be proud of how we buried the young promising talent. That line alone might keep the Hardys out of the WWE. To say the rest of the program was a failure is putting it mildly. On a scale of 1 to 10, it was off the chart bad. King Maxwell, all 1.5 years old of him, made his in-ring debut against Rockstar Spud. And Maxwell won when Senior Benjamin hit the Rockstar in his spuds, and Maxwell won. At that point, I was ready to call it a night, but press forward into the abyss, I did. Yes, Abyss was there too. Jeff Hardy's alter ego, Itchweed, made his in-ring debut against a man who shall remain nameless, to protect his innocence. The Itchweed character is fine and could be fun if developed. Kind of a handsome Jimmy Valiant, JYD hybrid, talking in jive, wearing steampunk glasses, and a weed whacker. Yes, he used a string weed trimmer on his opponent's clothing, shredding them to pieces with horrible special effects. The TNA Impact Champion Eddie Edwards took on Bobby Lashley in a fight that went into the woods, and even Swoggle, without his horn, got involved. Yes, it was Horn Swoggle. Swoggle tried to spear Lashley and just bounced off him. I don't think that match ever ended. Before this rant turns into a Jim Cornette type of rant filled with expletives, let's just say it was a night filled with fake news reports, a volcano, a firework shooting drone, the return of Abyss's board with nails in it, the beautiful Janice, Shane Helms being transformed through the magical waters of a pond back into the hurricane, fights in the back of a pickup truck, wrestlers fighting with a boat of all things, Ricky Morton of the Rock and Roll Express stuck in a cherry picker, more fireworks, and horrible lighting. This might have been a death knell for TNA. I hope not, because I really like most of what's going on there. Here's a note I wrote for the broken Matt Hardy. Remember the saying, less is more. The production was over-the-top bad, kind of like a bad 50s horror flick that Ed Wood, the man that gave us Plan 9 from Outer Space, would have been proud of. And maybe that was the point after all. Maybe in 50 years, the guys at Mystery Science 3000 will do a show built around this show. Was TNA Impact trying to think out of the box? Well, I tell you what, you need to have a box to begin with. And from what I saw, we need to send boxes and boxes and boxes to the Hardy Compound. Was it so bad it was good? Nope, not on your life. This was just bad.
And because they committed those acts, I sentenced them to deletion. Delete, 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 delete.
So just delete, delete, in this delete, piece that delete, I delete, just read, I compared it to the old B movies and my disappointment in it. But now that I'm thinking back on all the publicity, and all the things that have happened with TNA over the last several years, I got to admit, the broken Matt Hardy, Brother Nero, I think it has really put TNA on a good step right now for the future with the new ownership, the new logo, and what they're doing. I got to say, Matt Hardy has saved TNA.
Yeah, and that's what his goal is. His goal is to bring – his goal, as he said – in fact, he actually did an interview with USAtoday.com, and he said, and this is a direct quote, "I want to be the leader of the resurgence for TNA." There's a lot of cases where he's getting the attention that TNA needed and that he wanted for TNA. And so you got to give him credit for his effort, man. You really do. Like, it's gutsy. That's a really gutsy theme, because if that doesn't work, Dave,
yeah,
TNA is in a lot of trouble.
Here's a question for you that I asked Ajay, and I'm going to ask you too. Has the broken brilliance of Matt Hardy saved Impact Wrestling?
You know, if I were to say, be a little bit rude, I would say, I don't know, what's the new company that bought them out?
They're out of Canada. I can't remember anyway.
Starts with an S, doesn't it?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
That's probably who saved TNA.
But
or you could say, as far as Billy Corgan's money that he loaned the company to keep him afloat, saved TNA. But that's being a little harsh.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. The broken Matt Hardy's, it's a pretty creative character, but those Hardy compound matches are so terrible.
Yeah, I cannot disagree with you.
I watched the total deletion, and it was awful. And what was the next one that they did?
Tag Team Apocalypto.
Well, wasn't it? So there was, what was the first one called?
The Total Deletion. Yeah.
And then didn't they? Yeah, they were going to do total nonstop deletion from the party, the Hardy compound again. And,
oh yeah.
And you, I was going to watch it. And you said don't even bother, so I haven't even watched it.
But there's some aspects of it that have been fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
The delete that thing is kind of fun, but he just goes off the wall. I don't know if you heard the interview on the Jim Ross Report, I think it was his podcast, with Matt in character the entire interview on the Ross Report, in character as the broken Matt Hardy. It was weird. It was strange. So, yeah, it was, I don't know if he saved it, but he got a lot of publicity for Impact.
I've listened to interviews and stuff with Jeff, and he really likes TNA, and he said that the thing he likes the most about TNA is the creative control they've given him.
I had heard that Matt and Jeff had approached WWE when they were still with them about something very similar to this, and the WWE shot it down.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting to see when they started doing this deletion at the Hardy compound that the WWE got wind of it, and that's when they did the New Day against the Wyatt family at the Wyatt compound, which was also pretty bad.
Stupid, yeah.
Yeah, and they dropped that, hallelujah. As the saying goes, there's no bad publicity. And there are a lot of people that enjoy this broken brilliance of Matt Hardy. It's not my thing. I'm not that thrilled with it.
Well, do you not? So let me ask you a question, though. Do you not like the character, or do you not like the production value and the story of the and things like that, or do you not like the character?
I can't say I dislike the character. I'm not really thrilled with it because but he's supposed to have his mind is altered. You know, there could be a lot of different reasons for that. But his mind has been altered, and that's why the broken brilliance, and he does and all the premonitions and all that. I can't. I can deal with that. But it is when they go to the compound and they have this terrible lighting and they're using fireworks as weapons. They're in a boat. I mean, at this last one right before Christmas time, there was a boat that wrestlers were fighting a boat, and that stupid drone that they have that's supposed to be intelligent. It made me start watching Mystery Science Theater on YouTube again. That's how bad it was. But
yeah, what a great show.
Oh, I love Mystery Science Theater 3000. But that's the kind of special effects you're getting. And I'm better off now with it.
Are they going to do a crossover with ROA?
Yeah, they're going to be.
Hardy showed up.
Yeah, he showed up at Final Battle on video, and they were going to challenge the Young Bucks. And evidently that is going to happen, that it's going to be the Hardys, the Broken Brilliance of Matt and Brother Nero, taking on the Young Bucks at an ROH event. And I believe it's in April in Florida. Whether it saved the company or just maybe made them a little bit more relevant, that's pretty good. So,
well, my man, I hate to do this to you, but now it's time to say goodbye to David Buford D.
Don't quit your day job, brother.
Yes, and should we break the news?
What's that? Yes, break it. You break it.
Zeno Mac, the Mac Daddy of professional wrestling podcasting, is going on a new adventure. He's leaving Cache Valley. He's leaving the Doctor of Rock.
Yeah,
behind.
You're moving quite a ways from me. Still in the same state, but you're going to be moving. What about?
So we're gonna. We're don't lose hope. Turnbuckle Trash will still be a thing. We're just going to figure out how to do it. Long distance relationships just make the heart grow fonder, right, Dave?
That's right. I'm going to miss you, Zay. I'm going to miss you, my
boy. Well, we'll figure it out, and we'll be back, don't worry.
And you and I are going to the road to WrestleMania before you
leave. Yep, that's still on. So I hope you have a great time, and thanks for the all you do for Turnbuckle Trash.
It'll be fun.
I just want to thank our listeners. I really do. The people on Facebook are listeners. Chris Evans has been a huge part of our listening to us. Kelly Denton. There's so many great people on our Facebook page or on Twitter account that follow us and take time to listen to us blab on and blab off about wrestling. And, you know, like David said before, we're not experts. We're fans, and we appreciate you guys being fans with us. We're having a blast doing it, and we hope you guys will join us for more.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair, woo!
So if you guys could keep that up for about 2 minutes and 15 seconds, you'd last 1 second longer than Punk did.
I'm going to break out with pimples and blemishes and hives. I could get acne, acro, arachnophobia.